some people knocked on the door and I came outside. I thought it was fans, innit? You get me? They were like, oh, God, I want to chat to you outside. Next thing I know, you, bro, they buzzed out shanks on me and they kidnapped me. One thing I don't share about is food. I'll give you my last £10, but don't play with my food. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, 1st of November. Ooh, happy new month. Ooh, happy new month. Ooh, more prosperity, more prosperity, more joy, yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy, happy new month. You already know who the fuck it is. It's your girl, Madam Joyce in the Bizzle. And we are back again for a new episode of Cocktails and Takeaways. How are you guys? Hope you are well. Hope that you are eating well. Hope that you are sleeping well. Hope that you are doing well. Hope that you are sexing well. Hope that you are loving well. But honestly, guys, I have definitely missed you. Right, let's get it cracking. I think this episode is a little bit weird because I think it's the first time we've ever pre-recorded an episode. So if you're watching this right now and you're seeing me on Foot Asylum locked in, not sure what I'll be doing at that time, but hopefully I'm doing it and I'm looking cute. I hope my wig is not lifting and shifting, but if it is, sorry, innit? Like, I'm pre-warning you that there's a possibility that my wig could be lifting for Foot Asylum there. But yeah, this is a pre-recorded episode. I'm currently in Foot Asylum locked in and I don't have my phone, I don't have access, but because one, I love you guys to the death of me, and two, I don't want daddies to be shouting on me, we pre-recorded this episode just for you. So it's currently not the 1st of November where we are now. What day is it today? It's the 24th of October, but this is coming out on the 1st of November, and I want to wish you a happy, happy, happy new month. But with that being said, how are you, chicken and stew? I don't even know where to start this week. Emmanuel, what are we saying? What's good?
Yo, yo.
Back again, round two. How are you, friend?
I'm good. Obviously, same old. We just chilling.
1st of November. Do you know what I love? I love new months. New months are like a new beginning. Do you know what I mean? I feel like every time a new month starts, it's like a new opportunity to kind of like do a 30-day something. Do you know what I mean? Like a 30-day like intermittent fasting diet, or like, you, what's that thing called where they do the like, that you have like a challenge, it's like 30-day challenges, mental challenge. Have you ever done the like a 30-day something?
Nah.
No 30-day challenge?
I don't know. It's not really me to be doing challenges for 30 days. Unless it's, I don't know what I'll be doing for 30 days.
Like, you know, it's like to get your mental, like if you want like a mental reset or like a physical reset, you will do like a challenge. There's that one that I saw someone do. Is it like 17 sharp or 20 sharp? What is that called? 28 sharp. And it's like every day you have to like, go to exercise twice a day. You have to read an hour book. You have to do a whole load of fuck off stuff. That's just a lot for me. Like, I've seen a couple boys do it, and after the 28 days, they're looking very, very good. Emmanuel, maybe you should do it. You should just do it. Give us a 28 day sharp or whatever. But how's your week been? Talk to me.
Yeah, it's been all right. Just been doing the same old. I haven't really done anything too special. But yeah, feeling blessed. So.
Emmanuel, do you have any hobbies?
Yeah.
I feel like every time you come onto the mic, you don't give as much.
Well, I kick ball.
Yeah, so.
I like music. What else?
What are you listening to at the moment?
I've been recently listening to a bit of Drake. Obviously, his new album came out.
Yes, sir.
There's one song I've been listening to on repeat.
What's it called?
The one with SZA, Slam You Out, I think.
Oh, that's a bit saucy.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about that song that is like,
It's a bit saucy and naughty. All right then, Emmanuel. Do you know what? Yeah, I didn't know that. I was on TikTok and the girlies were saying that SZA used an instrumental, but no, she used a a sample, thank you, a sample of Marvin's Room at the end. So you can hear the Marvin Room sample at the end, and people were like, oh, she's responding after 12 years. And I was like, responding? Was the song about her in the first place? I don't know. But the girlies are saying that Marvin's Room was about SZA on TikTok. Don't quote me for it. I don't know.
That's interesting.
But I mean, 12 years later, to respond is a bit crazy.
I don't think she was responding after 12 years.
Do you know what?
To hold that for time is...
To hold 12 years response. Crazy. I know girls that would do that anyways. But right, I want to even show you what I even saw on the internet this week. Can I just say, first of all, something that made me laugh was that, you know how on Twitter, people are always talking about dinner with Jay-Z or 500K? So there's a thing on Twitter where it's like, would you rather go with dinner with Jay-Z or take 500K? And there are some like entrepreneurial people who are like, do you know what? I would take the dinner with Jay-Z because like he's going to feed me millions of dollars worth of information and I'm going to take it and I'm going to, you know, start property. Like, you know, them weird there, like all those entrepreneurs and that. So recently in an interview, somebody asked him about the dinner with Jay-Z 500K. Jay-Z said with his own mouth, take the 500K. He said, there is nothing I have to say to you over filet mignon steak and fries with peppercorn sauce. Take the 500K and go about your business. He was like, you can probably get more information out of a CD that I wrote for like $10.99. Like, just don't waste your time. He basically said, don't pick me, which I found absolutely hilarious. Okay, another thing, Emmanuel, I have a question for you, yeah? Because I saw this on the internet. I thought this was an interesting conversation. So, you know, obviously, when you're at home, are you a living room person or are you a bedroom person?
Definitely a bedroom.
Like, how much time do you spend in your bedroom?
It's either I'm in the bedroom or I'm outside the yard. That you rarely see me in the living room. I can't even stand that. When I'm in the kitchen and I see someone come in the kitchen, it's like, why are you in my space? Even though it's everyone's, like, I can't do it.
So you like to have your own space in the... You know what's weird? I'm a bedroom person, like, and I feel like it's so unhealthy because I have such a nice living room. I bought this fuck off TV because when I first moved in, I was like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and be a living room person. I'm going to have the big TV and stuff. Honestly, I don't even watch TV. Most of the time, I spend my time in my bedroom, in my bed. Like, it could be 2 o'clock and I'll just be sitting down in bed, which I think is so toxic. Like, sometimes I'll be in bed for like 2-3 hours, like doing nothing, scrolling on my phone. And then I will just like, my consciousness will come back and I'm just like, are you jobless? Then I will sit in the living room and I'll sit there for like an hour or so. And then I just end up in the bed again. I just end up in the bed. But then my cousins, like, the minute they wake up, they're in the living room and they spend the whole day in the living room. Unless like, even if they're doing like schoolwork when we grew up, they do the schoolwork in the kitchen. Like the bedroom is just for sleeping. Have you got like a little office space in your bedroom, Manuel?
Yeah, I got like a little desk.
A little desk that you, but then again, you buy the desk because you want to be like serious about your shit. And then you end up back in the fucking bed. Like you end up back in the bed. But do you know what? I want to be a living room person. I don't know about you, but I want to be a living room person. It's C&T, baby. So we have got our hot new releases of this month. As you guys know, this is pre-recorded, but the team has managed to conjure all the hot stuff that is happening this November for you to check out if it's not already out. So first of all, guys, I fly with the stars in the sky. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire. It's my empire. Guys, and yes, I call the shots. I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. Guys, the queen mother. Honestly, guys, I'm getting emotional talking about this because I'm going to be away when this album comes out. And I don't get to experience it the way that you guys are gonna experience it when it first comes out. But our queen mother, Nicki Minaj, is going to be releasing her fifth studio album after 5 years of Know How Bomb. Guys, she said he came from Jamaica, he owned a couple acres, a couple fake visas cause he never got his paper, gave up on love fucking with them heartbreakers, but he was getting money with the movers and the shakers. He was mixed with a couple things, bought like a couple rings, grips in a condo with grams to sing, left arm baby mother tatted, 5 year bid up north when they had him, anyway I felt them. Oh my god, don't get me started. Oh my god, guys, you already know, you guys know Nicki Minaj is my queen. I'm obsessed with Nicki. I think that this album is going to be amazing. There's already been some songs that have been buzzing around TikTok. The barbs and TikTok, like, they never come to play. There's been already kind of like songs and snippets that have been buzzing around TikTok, and I'm loving every single one of them. I feel like the rap game right now, can we keep it a stack? I'm loving the fun in women rap at the moment. I'm loving how fun it is. Ski, if you see me and you're trying to see what's up. I'm loving the fun and just the carefreeness of women rap. People are coming into the scene and just doing their thing. And I love that. And it's giving. And for the first time, we can be in the club and hear several different women artists. And it's just given. It's never happened before. There's usually that only one or that two, but now we've got so many. What I do feel like women in rap are lacking is the substance, is the depth, is the actual pen game. The pen games recently are not giving. Let's call a spade, it's fun. The music is fun. Ski, and you see me, and you're trying to see what's up, ski. Like, the music is fun. And I'm not just pointing, I think Sexy Red is great. The music is fun, the music you can bop to, the music you can be cute to. But in terms of lyricistical grammar, vocab, English, onomatopoeia, photosynthesis, in terms of the actual pen to paper excellence, we're missing. And I'm very excited to see Nicki bring that back, because our queen mother, Nicki Minaj, can spit to Bamba Clark. And I'm very excited to see that. Let's move on before Emmanuel starts shouting on me. So we do have Pink Pantress, who is releasing her debut album, Heaven Knows. I'm very excited. I love Pink Pantress. I think she is someone who's had an amazing run. Like, I feel like people are coming and going on social media, but I feel like she's been able to keep consistent. Usually the ambiguous thing doesn't ever work. Like, but the whole like ambiguous brand that she has, it works. Like, we don't really know much about Pink Pantress. We don't really, like, I feel like I've only ever heard her speak once. But the music speaks for itself, and it's very, very difficult to be that type of artist nowadays. All the labels, all the brands are trying to get their artists, do this interview, do that interview, come speak here. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to say, blah, 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 blah. Call Madame Joyce, like, come on the show, like that kind of stuff. But it's the first time where I've seen someone just focus on the music and have a good time with it and still be consistent. So the fact that now she's got a debut album, I'm so excited. And do you know what? I think it's going to be cute. And I'm ready for the TikTok girlies to do their little sound bites and to give us some new trends, because I need to do a trend that's not too hard. I don't want to, all this popping and locking. I can't do it. But if it's a little, I'm going to do it. And finally, for all you movie fans out there, we have a new movie out this month. If you are a Marvel fan, The Marvels is out this month, which obviously is the sequel to Captain Marvel. And the film features Brie Larson, Tiana Paris, and Iman Vellani. So I love Marvel. Me and Elijah bond. This is our bonding thing, innit? Like, I've watched every single Marvel movie. And every time Marvel has a release, I am gassed. I promise you, for those who watch Marvel know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't think this movie's gonna give, you know. First of all, I feel like I've watched the first Captain Marvel and it was okay. Like, it was okay. But I think what is making me a bit nervous is the Miss Marvel series that came out on Disney Plus. It was so painfully bad. Like, I just didn't understand it. It just wasn't given. Like, I get they were trying to make her like this Gen Z, like, oh my God, like we're trying to Marvel for the youth. But it's like, we need blood and gore here, please. We need people to be popped in the head. Like, we need aliens. Like, we don't care that Sister Girl's trying to live her dreams. Like, it just wasn't given. But yeah, anyways, I have to watch it because obviously, guys, if you're part of the Marvel gang, like, you need to make sure that you're up to date with all the cinematic experiences so that you don't miss out on the next movie that comes out. So I'm going to have to watch it. But I hope to be pleasantly surprised. But yeah, that was Hot New Releases this month. Hope you catch one of them. And if you do, make sure that you message us on something down below. Emmanuel, just write something so they know where to find you. Get like purr.
It's CNT, baby.
Okay, guys, so as this is a pre-recorded episode, I thought it was only right for us to do something that, you know, you can watch and it can still make sense. Because sometimes with hot topics, you know, the conversation, we want hot topics to be hot, you dig? Like, and like right now, if I said it, it's going to be lukewarm. So basically, we are going to have a special dilemmas segment. So we asked the bad boys and girls on Instagram to send in their issues and dilemmas. And we have collated the best. That collated was crazy. We have collated the best. And we're gonna, you know, give you some advice and help you. You get me? Like, obviously, we're all here for each other. You dig? So, right. Are you guys ready? Because I'm not. Purr. Let's go. So, dilemma number one. I love your show and it really helps me get through the midweek bump. Big up you. I'm 26 and I have been in a relationship with my boyfriend for the last 7 years. My family absolutely love him and over the years have become very close to him, enough so they warned me not to ruin it, as I was a somewhat troublesome teen. However, my family are very traditional and have been asking us when will we get married. I really want to get married, however, my boyfriend doesn't believe in it. On top of this, every time my family asks us about it, he tells them that I say I'm not ready for marriage. Now, they started putting pressure on me privately, saying if I don't change my mind soon, he would leave. I want to tell them it's not my decision, but that will only embarrass us both but show that he's lying. How do I get them off my back without making our relationship look messy? First of all, I just want to just say, you guys know I can't fucking read. So, like, I did my best, okay? Thank you. There's a lot to unpack here. First of all, 7 year relationship. So she's been with him since she was 19. And I feel like that's already the first mistake. I always tell people, giving away your youth to long-term relationships that young is, for me, it's a very stupid thing to do. If she was to tell me like at 25, 26, you know, I've just found my full-time boyfriend, perfect. But when I see girls who are 19, 20, 21, 22 in long-term relationships, I'm so confused. Girl, this is your prime years. This is the years where you're still trying to discover who you are and what you like. You've dated the one boy that has like giving you attention and you've just taken that as Bible, whereas there's so many flavors out there. There's so many like chocolates, Maltesers, Kinder Bueno, Snickers. There's so many nice chocolate for you to try, but you've just stuck to Bounty and now you're coming to message me to say dilemma, 7 year relationship. Anyways, I hope you've learned that one. For me, and it's so weird because I recently came out of a similar situation. Guys, if you guys are not aligned in terms of commitment, let it go. If you want something and it's like, okay, I want to be in a long-term relationship. Sister girl said, I want to be married. And he's telling you he doesn't want to be married. Sorry, for me, that's enough for you to break the situation off. Because one thing I don't want, and one thing I've done in the past, is I've waited for someone in the hopes of them changing their mind. Or I've stuck around because it's like, okay, he might have said this to me, but his actions say otherwise. You know, he's sitting with my family and my family love him and we're having a good time. And he, take his word for Bible. He doesn't want to be married. You want to be married. On top of that, he even has told you to lie to mommy and daddy. So he knows what he's doing is wrong, because it's like, I'm confused as to why you are trying to impress my parents so hard and try to create this image of perfection when you yourself know that you are not ready for the commitment that I'm looking for. Not only, he didn't even say, I'm not ready yet. He said, point blank period, I don't even believe in marriage. I think for me, while you're still young, 26 is still such a young and sexy age. Let that one go. Find yourself a new milkshake. Find yourself a new, go to the club and find you a bottle popper. Like, you haven't seen what's out there. I promise you, it's hard because it's 7 years. And especially like when you have your first love, those are always the hardest to let go of. 19, maybe you lost your virginity to him. You've been together for so long. You think you're gonna be forever with him. Girl, and this is for anyone. If you're looking for A and he's told you, because at least he's told you, some guys, they won't even tell you, Sha. They will come and lie. He's told you that he wants Z. Please let it go. That is enough for me to cut it off. I'm no longer dealing with potential. I'm no longer hoping for the best. I'm no longer seeing, oh, maybe one day, if I try hard enough, if I love him hard enough, he might change. Take his word for Bible and let it rest. Capuch. Thank you. So guys, I feel like the dilemmas are getting more juicy. So can we all just take like a little cocktail break, a little wine break? Big up all the girlies and big up all the mandems that listen to the show and actually are sipping on something. The week is hard, guys. Like, life is stressful. Have a drink. And it doesn't have to be an alcoholic drink, but just something. You know, sometimes when, even like, when you have a cool Coke, you know, Coke runs down the throat like a Bacardi. Like when you have a chill Coke and you just drink it and you're just like just something that just keeps you refreshed. So big up everyone. But let's move on to dilemma number two. So we have, I think I'm falling for my work husband. Girl, I have a great job at a great bank, and it's been the best job to date. I have been at this job for 2 years, and I applied for it as I wanted a good job that I could settle down in and provide me the life I want, as myself and my partner started planning for a family. I have been with my partner for 3 years, and we are trying for a baby. Over the last year, I have been getting closer to one of my work colleagues, my work husband. However, during the last 6 months, I have felt like I'm starting to really fall for him, even mentally comparing him to my partner when I'm with my partner. And I think the feeling is mutual. I love my man and I want to leave my job to stop this from getting any messier, as I think things will go left if I stay in this company. But the chemistry is undeniable, but I haven't seen better jobs. How do I get out without a new job, ruining my quiet, comfy life and not making my partner suspicious? Girl, there is nothing worse than falling for your work husband. There is nothing worse than falling for your work husband. Let's talk about work husbands for a minute, because I've been in a situation where I've dated my work husband. Let's talk about this. So I mentioned it briefly on the Shits and Gigs show, where I was working in a care home and I started dating the care home manager. Why did I go and do that? You see, men, at work, first of all, they're very different to outside. Especially like, let's just say like your work husband is like in a managerial role, or you know, you, imagine you're working in a bank. Oh, wait, guys. Your work husband is working in a bank. He's wearing the suits and tie. He's looking sexy. His work shirt is pressed. He smells delicious. His hair's always set. His shoe is always polished. The day that you see that boy outside of work is the day that that chemistry will jump out, because the same guy that's wearing shirts, double-breasted blazer, you'll see him outside and he's wearing jean shorts and gola shoes. He's wearing jean shorts and the trainers is dirty Vans. We've all been there before. Girls, have you ever seen your work husband outside of work and you're like, do you know what? You're actually more sexy in the corporate. Like your outfits is giving a bit more in the corporate. Like in real life, it's just not, the swaggeroony is not quite there now, is it? Listen, I can understand, like as women, we love attention, right? Let's be honest. And I want to, let us keep it a buck. Those who are single, those who are married, those who are in a relationship, it's always nice getting male attention. Even if you're in a relationship, even if you're married, sometimes when you step into the scene, when you step out and you're looking sexy and somebody's reaffirming that, a guy is reaffirming that, it feels a bit like, it's like, yeah, I still got it. Like when your husband or when your boyfriend is telling you you look sexy, it's like, okay, sir, I know. That's why you here, the fuck? But when somebody else outside is telling you, like, it's like, okay, like, I still got it. Like, I'm still sexy, like, I still got it. What I would say is this. You've been in a good relationship for 3 years. He's ready to settle down, which if you remember in the first dilemma, women are having that issue. Someone is there for 7 years and they don't want you. This one, you've been there for 3 years. He's looking, you're looking, you're trying for a baby, which means he wants to have a child with you. He wants to be married to you. Like, men like that are quite difficult to come by. And also, you haven't mentioned that your partner's actually done anything to you. So in my eyes, from what I'm hearing, he's a good guy because you're messaging in to say you want to make it work. Don't let infatuation finish you. Don't let infatuation finish you. Yes, we've all been there. And especially when you're at work and you're in close proximity to a man, these things can happen. But I honestly believe that this is all it is. I don't believe it's going to go anywhere. I don't believe that you're going to have this new like saucy, like girl, please. I would honestly say it's difficult now because you are in a job with him. So it's like, okay, do you leave the job? I personally wouldn't leave the job, but if you know your self-control is in the pits of hell, I would leave. If you know that if you love your husband or your boyfriend enough to want to make that relationship work and you're generally happy with him, I would say two things. I would say, one, keep the job. But two, I would have a bit of self-reflection as to what work husband is bringing that you feel like is missing at home. Because if it's a thing where maybe, you know, you guys are a bit more naughty, and sometimes when you've been with someone for 3 years, that naughtiness side leaves. It's like brother and sister. Maybe you are missing that excitement. Then you need to be like, okay, in my relationship at home, I need to bring that kick up and just spice it back up. You're young, you're sexy, you're a boss lady, and I love that for you. But if you want the same fire in your relationship, communication is important. And personally, I wouldn't tell my partner about the work husband thing. We'll just forget about it. You guys didn't do anything. It's not like you did anything for you to confess it. But take it as a mental note and see how you can make your relationship at home more just as exciting as your relationship in the workplace. And best of luck. Dilemma number 3. I think my friend is stealing from me. I am part of this very tight-knit friendship group. There are three of us and we've been friends from college. We are now in our mid-20s. Anyway, of recent, one of the girls went through a really bad breakup. Her ex was super toxic and would always talk down on her. Anyway, that relationship ended a month ago and she has since been spending a lot of time with my other friend and me since. However, since then, things have been going missing from both our houses. Items of clothing, books, jewelry. And when I have spotted her wearing something similar to things that have gone missing, she just said she liked it, so she brought her own. I've seen some of the missing items in her room when I came over as well. We want to confront her, but since the breakup, she has been so sensitive and defensive and shut down whenever we tell her the smallest things that we have noticed. I love my mate, but I have no idea how to address it. You see, in Nigeria, we call this type of people Ole. Ole means thief. You see, I've been in a similar situation. Nobody wants to accuse their friend outright. I say, are you an Ole? Are you a thief? It's hard because there's no concrete evidence. It's true. The girl could have seen the ring or the jewelry or the book, even the book itself. Why are you stealing books? She could have seen it and be like, oh, this is a good book. This is a good ring. This is a good shirt. Let me buy my own. But I think what's interesting about this situation is there's two people that are saying, hey, some of my stuff is going missing. Some of my things are going missing. For me, you're going to have to start. You're going to have to start etching into your shit. Like, you're going to have to start etching your signature into your things. That's the only way. Or you have to put a camera in your bedroom and catch them red-handed. Unless there's something significant about the item that, for example, like, there was one time in a friendship group, somebody stole a charger. Somebody took somebody's charger. So the girl was saying, that's my charger. And the other girl's like, no, it's not, like, it's a charger, like, I don't understand, like, it's an Apple charger, like, I took mine, my one has this, my one has that. Where, you know, like, the, you know the charger pockets, like, you know some of them flip open and flip close? The girl had put she had got nail varnish and put red nail varnish inside the bit that flips open. So when you flip it, it shows that it's red. So now when she now flips, it'd be like, I've painted this red. I know it's mine. Capuch, what can you say? What could the girl say after that? Like, there has to be something significant about your stuff to be like, that's mine. Like, even a book, like, girl, don't you write your name in books? Like, no one writes their names in books or puts notes or puts posts. You guys are not reading well. Like, a person who reads is highlighting, putting post-it notes to, you know, taking information and stuff. And you should just start writing your name on the books. This one is actually quite a hard one because you don't want to outright say that she's a thief. But I feel like these are the most beautiful ones because it gives you time to collate evidence. You need to start taking pictures of what you see on the wall, and maybe you need to set a booby trap. Next time she gets to her house, just bring one fine shoe. When she comes to your house, leave one fine shoe or one fine bag. Something that, you know, like a magpie, when you see it, you're like, whoa, this is great. This is cute. So she has to take it, but you need to put something on it. So it could be like, this is mine. Or better yet, put an air tag in it. Put an air tag in it and sew the air tag. Like if you're gonna catch a criminal, you have to, like, now that, like, we're doing CSI detective shit, innit? You have to be strategic. Like, if you wanna, because the only way for this to work out for everyone is if you catch her red-handed. You can't, because after accusation, what can you say? No, it wasn't me, like, whatever. You can't win, you can't base your plan on that. Do you know what I mean? You can't say, okay, I know you did. It has to be a thing where it's like, you have been caught red-handed. I know that you at least, even if you don't want to confess to the other crimes, this bag, I know you took it, because this is the distinctiveness of this bag or the air tag. I'm pressing the air tag and it's plink, 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 plink in your house. That's the only way for this to be settled. And also, if you know she's, hold on a second, sister, if you know she's a thief, why are you keep inviting her to your house? If you know she's a thief, why do you keep bringing her to your house? Why can't you meet her in her house? Why can't you meet her outside for lunch? Why can't you meet outside for dinner? Why must she come to your house? On top of that, you will now leave her in your bedroom so she can be snatching your things. Anyway, best of luck. Best of luck. Dilemma number 4. I used to date my boyfriend's flatmate. I've been with my man for almost a year now, and it's still going good. We're still in that sweet honeymoon stage. Honeymoon stage for almost a year is fucking giving. Well done. I get fed up of men after 2 months. Oh God. 1 year is good. Big up you. So they're still in that sweet spot. In the last month, my boyfriend has a new flatmate moving. I thought nothing of it until the day I saw the flatmate in the kitchen and I realized he was someone I met on Tinder and used to date around 4 years ago. It was never anything serious and it was only probably around 3 dates and a little kiss here and there, but nothing deep. My boyfriend is a bit old school and never used a dating app ever. I don't think he would be cool with knowing that we have dated, but it's very awkward and he started asking why I don't come round often anymore and I'm starting to feel guilty. But I think he will break up with me if he finds out. What do I do? Sister, let me tell you something. You are in a good relationship right now. You've been here with this guy for a month. Anything that happened prior to you meeting this guy is none of his business and none of your business. Your wholeness has been deleted. Your wholeness has been deleted. Move on. The thing is, it's not even wholeness. Okay, cool. 4 years ago, you met a guy on Tinder. You went on a couple dates. You even just kissed him. Listen, after 4 days, I'm fucking. So you're even better than me. 4 dates, just a little peck here and there. Hey, well done. Well done. That's good. Clap for yourself, first of all. So just small kissing that we've been doing and you're here sweating. Okay, cool. It's so inconvenient for him to be living at your boyfriend's house. Yes, but it's above you. There's nothing you can do about that. I personally feel you should be open to your boyfriend and be like, 4 years ago, as in like, me and you, we weren't even on the same timeline, babe. We didn't know each other like that. We weren't even in the same economy at that time. I met somebody on a dating app. We had a little pecky. We went for small dinner here and there, and it didn't work out. I feel like that's such a normal thing. Sometimes flatmate, don't confuse flatmate with best friend. He's sharing a house in his lodging. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've been in situations where some flatmates, they're not even boys like that. Like, you very rarely, they're not friends. They're just so happy to share a space. But I think what might be eating you up is the idea that your boyfriend is going to break up with you. But you actually haven't spoke to him about it. Sometimes the way our brain exasperates things can really like affect our relationship because we're thinking about things that are not there. Now you're thinking he's going to break up with you. So now you're missing the D. You decided not to come to his house anymore. He's thinking why. And in his mind, he's probably thinking, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I've upset her. Maybe this. So now you have all these like thoughts and you're acting on thoughts that might not necessarily be the case. The first thing you need to do, sister, is talk to your man and tell him what the fuck it is. 4 years ago, I did this thing. It happened. And the guy's here. Yeah, it will even probably push him not to really be boys with him or speak to him or anything like that. But I think on your part, if your boyfriend is mature and a sensible human being, that stuff should not even make him upset. Maybe bruise the male ego a bit, because I mean, no guy likes the idea of, oh my God, another guy touched my woman. Like, they're just idiots. Do you know what I mean? Or it's just very idiotic. It's like, oh my God, like somebody else like kissed her. Oh my God. Like, it's simply an ego thing. But really and truly, it shouldn't be more than that. And he shouldn't like break up with you because of it. Like, and if he does, he's fucking weird, mate. And you get your ass back on Tinder and you find another boy to be taking you on dates and kissing them, because at that point, but yeah, I think it'll be fine. Talk to him, communication, have the conversation, and I wish you the best of luck. I want to say a huge thank you to our sponsors for this week, EasyJet. Okay, you guys remember last week's episode, EasyJet are currently recruiting for cabin crew. So if you guys are looking for a new experience, if you're looking to be flued out for work, yes, guys, this is the role for you. The cabin crew roles are open to any age starting at 18. So if you're just turning 18, you've just literally, and you're allowed to enter the club now, you can actually be a crew member, and they are looking for males and females to join. So in addition to a great starting salary, cabin crew can receive a share of the commission from in-flight retail sales, plus free crew food and drink, and are eligible for an annual bonus. One thing about my airport experiences, my flight experiences, is definitely food. It's definitely the cabin crew making you feel comfortable. Listen, I even had a cabin crew girlie help me take my pics, my air flight pics for the gram. She ate that. Big up that girl, wherever she is. So there's opportunity for career progression to roles such as cabin manager or other cabin service roles, with the on-job training, coaching, stretching assignments, and shadowing, as well as workshops and e-learning. And let me tell you something, there is no flight experience needed. EasyJet will give you all the training. So if you are interested in starting this new journey, please make sure you go to the description box below and you click on the link. And let me know how it goes, and the best of luck to you. Thank you, EasyJet. Cocktails and takeaways. Guys, you know I love Afrobeats, and it's only right I bring one of the top Afrobeat artists in the world right now. Yes, it's given top 20 in the world according to Spotify. Yes, I am honored to have this amazing woman known for blurring genres and creating a fresh new sound. She's been in the scene since 2019. You guys remember the steps. You remember the steps. And she continues to give us international collabs. I would love to introduce Darko.
Yeah.
What's goody? How are you?
I'm good, man.
Can I just say, it's the drip for me.
I try.
It's giving.
I'm trying to be on your level, man.
No. Excuse me. Can we talk about the shy? Can we talk about the wrist?
Small, I beg you.
The wrist is blinging.
Small.
The chain is blinging.
All God can give us, they do now.
Prada, you know? Glasses.
Stop it.
How are you? How have you been? Talk to me.
I'm blessed. I thank God. You know, I'm here. I'm still doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying my best.
Still going hard. I remember when you first came onto the scene with Gangsta. That's the first time I was ever introduced to you. And that sound, that era, I think that was during the Afro Swings era. And honestly, that was my jam. But talk to me about your journey even before that.
Yeah, I think I was definitely doing music before that. You know, my core fans know that I've been out here before that. I probably started music like 15. I would drop my first track, Gas Station, at like 16. I feel like that was the song that was like brought the eyes on me. You know, I had a little fan base. I was still in secondary school, like, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I would be like, my secondary school used to wear like a blazer and kilt in it. Like, I'll be walking and going to school, and you know, I have other people in school saying, "Oh my God, Darko!" You know, I was a little hood celeb.
So you were you always Darko?
Yeah, I've always been Darko.
Because you know, sometimes artists have that name where it's like they started with the bad name before they evolved. But yeah, you've always been Darko.
Yeah, I've always rolled with Darko. Yeah, as in when I started being an artist. Yeah, so yeah, definitely.
And what does that name mean?
doesn't mean anything.
It's just a vibe.
It don't mean
it's
nothing.
Just, it's just a vibe.
Yeah, I swear. I literally put it together like I, you know, people don't be coming in. I could have made up a story and said, "Oh, this is what." No, I don't.
Something philosophical.
Just me. Just come. Is that?
I cool? feel like we should make up a name. Like, you know, sometimes something needs to have meaning so it could be passionate. Like, you know, yeah. Darker for the darkest times of my life.
Yeah.
Something philosophical.
I like that.
Something philosophical. Now you are an international star. Obviously, the first time that we have interacted is when you came out with your song with Ira Starr. And I swear to God, that was my anthem for like 2 months.
Thank you.
Because why does my happiness disturb you?
Why?
What?
You know, it's actually a real question. Like, why is my happiness disturbing you?
Like, the way I shouted that song was just insane. But how did that collaboration come together?
Nah, Ira's my guy, man. Ira's my guy. I won't lie. That's one person I could sit here and talk about for hours because she's such an amazing person. Like, exactly what you see is what she is in person. Like, she's a lovely girl. So I think it was in 2021 or 2022. I think maybe 2021, ended of 2021. I went to Nigeria, or 22. I can't remember, actually. One of those years. I went to Nigeria. I mean, then she was still upcoming. You know, we linked up, you know. I remember before I went to Nigeria, I said, my sister showed me one of her songs. I think it was Bloody Samaritan. Because my sister's a, she loves Afrobeats. Yeah. Like, anything Afrobeats, she loves it. So I was like, oh, yo, she's sick. Like, I fuck with her. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then I was like, I was sitting there with my mom and my sister. I was like, yeah, I'm going to work with her. Like, I didn't know her. I didn't know anyone with her. But when I went to Nines that trip, like a week after, yeah, my manager Scoop shouted her team and she was like, yeah, she's down to work. You know, she came over to the apartment. We recorded something, and then I think we went to the strip club after.
As you should.
you know, you're in Nigeria. Went to the strip club after, but I was just like, yo, this girl, she's so cool. Like, do you know what I'm saying? From there, me and her have just been like gang shit. Like, that's my guy. Like, that's my brother. It's not just about the music. Like, I have real love for her. Like, that's my guy.
It's always interesting and kind of difficult finding like real friends
in the industry. Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people just aren't as genuine as they make themselves seem like, you know. But she's just exactly how she is, bro. Like, she's just an amazing person. Like, trust me, even release everything, there was no issues. Like, she supported it, she gave it everything that she could, and I'm grateful for her. She's an amazing artist, she's an amazing friend. Like, trust me, I'm not even just trying to hype her, bro, because of
listen,
she's
I love
a good
her.
She's a good person,
I promise,
bro,
you. Like, I've never met her, but that song Bloody Samaritan, yeah, took me through hard times, because I actually that came out 2-3 years ago.
Yeah,
I remember that was the time where I owed 2K in debts. 2K, no, actually no, it came out 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, and I was living in Luton, and I owed my landlord money. And that was the song. That was like my manifestation song. Vibe killer, blood Samaritan, protect my energy from your bad aura. And I think there's a line where it was like, now my pastor say, "Ya be mine, you let everything I desire, I go receive." And it was that line, the manifestation. I said, "Listen, life might be shit now, yeah, but you see, I am going to manifest the life I want to live." And I was just literally speaking. I said, nah, life is tough right now, but the future is great. But I want to break down the video, because the video was given. In particular, this alter ego that you have between showing your more feminine side.
Darkisha.
Listen, I was literally speaking to my team.
Darkisha.
I said, Darkisha. Does the alter ego have a name?
Yeah, Darkisha. Her name is Darkisha. Yeah, she's a bad bitch.
Darkisha. No, seriously,
she's a bad bitch.
Do you know what? I was like, she must have a name, because it's giving such a fierce alter ego. What made you decide that you wanted to embrace both sides? Because nobody has ever done it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a good thing, but it's a problem, and it's not a problem, because I don't mind people confusing me. Like, I don't mind. In fact, I want you to be confused. About your confusion. I do it on purpose. But like, I feel like when we done that was, I think we first done that in Gangsta, because if I'm being honest with you, Darko was like, you know, how I am, dressed like this. I always dress like this at home. When I go out, I'll dress up. But you know, in school, I was a tomboy. I used to play football and stuff. But when I went to secondary school, like, you know, I went to an all-girls school. So, you know, we're all girls and you become
kill scared,
you're girly, you like boys. I fancy this one, I fancy that one. So I was involved, you know, I was part of
you know what a girl does.
The girl gang.
You know what I'm saying? So I was doing makeup, cut crease, bro. If I show you some of the cut crease I was doing back then,
we need some pics. God,
you would not believe it, bro. I was crazy, bro. Like, my cut creases were... I'll be sitting watching video. I had to do concrete. I had to do eyeshadow blending. Bro, I was peak. But that was because of secondary school. So I feel like, what, gangster was like what in college? So yeah, secondary school, I was very girly. But when I got to college, I started being myself. I cut my hair. But obviously, I still wore a wig when I went to school and stuff. But it wasn't me. I would say it wasn't not me, but it wasn't like how I sit here and I'm so comfortable with myself and I'm enjoying my life and I'm happy to, do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't me fully. There's always a part of me that I love to do it or whatever. But, you know, when I went to college, I still had the wig on. I had my hair cut underneath. But then, I think then gangster happened. And that the first part of the video we shot, I had a low trim.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then we shot another part because then One Nation jumped on a song. And then I was like to my boy, I was like, yo, should I get my makeup done? I was thinking, nah, he was like, yeah, you just...
You now did the 26 center part bust down, I remember.
Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, should I do my makeup? Get my makeup done. I was like, you know what, fuck it, do it. And I done it. And then from there, people were like, yo, who is like, yeah, you know, like, who is this? Wait, is there two people on the
who's
song?
Who's featuring? Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So like, I'm gonna run with this because it's not like something I'm not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I might not feel as comfortable going out with a wig on and... You know the makeup, and you know how it is, baby. Yeah. Like, you know, make sure it's my blush, it's my nice. So it's long, but I love to do it. I actually have fun doing it. You know, bringing out that side of me is fun. So that's kind of how it came about. You know, I didn't know that me sitting here, I'll be like this and cut my hair and be comfortable in like literally like my bare skin, no makeup, nothing. Like I used to put on so much makeup. Like, looking at, if I knew that here I'll be sitting here with no makeup on stuff, I'll be surprised. Do you know what
but
I'm
your
saying?
Skin is giving though.
Thank you.
The skin is looking thank like you. You drink 3 liters of water a
nah,
day.
I just need some good, you know. I just need some good, you know.
But you know what? Yeah. Do you feel like the music has helped you like embrace more of that side that you want to be? Because you were mentioning like being at school, like. You were doing all these things because the girls were doing it, but it wasn't making you feel that comfortable. It wasn't you.
It definitely, trust me, like, I feel like once I blew up and everything, I just felt so much peace in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And also in terms of like my sexuality and stuff, you know, I didn't fully come out. I didn't fully know who I knew who I was, but I was hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I had a conversation with my parents and stuff. And then like from there, I've just been the happiest I've ever been. Do you know what I'm saying? Coming out and just knowing that peacefully, I'm not hiding anything. Because I remember I had to sit down with my mom and I was crying. I was like, because she's my best friend. I felt like, because I couldn't tell her about this certain part of my life, I couldn't be as close to her. As soon as I told her that, me and my mom are like besties. We tell each other everything and it's like we're open. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I will tell my mom anything. Where I am, wherever I'm going, if I'm doing something bad, I tell her, mommy, I'm doing, do you know what I'm saying? She knows everything about my life. And I feel like it's better like that because I'd rather not lie to my parents and make my parents think I am who I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And I, plus, in terms of the music as well, because with Gangsta, the reason why I never said he or she was because I was scared of my parents finding out.
Mm-hmm.
So I never ever said like a he or she. I never made it seem like I'm talking about a girl or a boy. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I was scared. But eventually, you know, when I kind of, you know, told them about everything, now I feel like I'm more confident in specifying. Sometimes I don't, but now I can actually be myself. Do you know what I'm saying? So I feel like definitely the music definitely made me more confident, you know. And plus, like, you know, when you make it in a Nigerian household, you're the boss. So I can do what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Can I just say that's so beautiful? Because I know growing up in a Nigerian household, for a lot of people that are watching, sexuality is something that is so difficult to express. I know people who to this day they are still hiding, they're still hiding from their parents. What kind of advice would you give to them?
I don't know, like, I mean, everyone's circumstances.
Yeah, it's different. You know it's hard, you're right.
Like, everyone's, like, I'm just fortunate enough to have good parents and not good parents, understanding parents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People, like, two individuals that understand me and accept that, you know what? Even though I'm going to still be praying for you, don't worry, I'm still going to pray for you.
Maybe one day.
They still say it. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, they say it. I have African parents at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. They just say they're still praying for me, but they want me to be happy. They love me and they want me to be happy. So that's what's important, and I'm grateful for that. So I don't know what advice I would give you. I just feel like do what's best for you.
Agreed.
At the end of the day, I always say this, isn't it? Like with me in terms of spirituality, like I always say it's like it's what's in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I will be as an individual in front of God, and God will judge me for myself. Do you know what I'm saying? So whatever is in my heart is what he will judge me on. I live my life with love. I live my life with integrity. And that's what I live and stand by. You know, if wherever I end up, as long as I know that I lived with love. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is, you know, the first most important Ten Commandments is love. And that's what I'm living with. I love the person I'm with. I love my partner. I love my friends. I try to help people. I try to do all these things. So that's, for me, that's what's important. You know, at the end of the day, I stand by myself. You don't need to judge me, because now let me go. I only me go dead there when God can say, you're going this way, you're going that way. Like, trust me, but this is conversations I have with myself, and I sit down and I'll be like, listen, I'm just going to live the best life I can and show love. That's it.
I love that. I love that. And we're talking about the journey right now. We're in 2019. We are in the peak of your career. But when you're reflecting back on Darker Den, who was trying to understand her identity, trying to understand who she is, how can you compare her to who you are now in terms of like your sound, in terms of who you are, the whole package?
I think I've definitely changed, good and bad.
Of course.
Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like you don't make that much effort to not change.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? You don't make that much money to not change. You're not trying to be the same person. You work hard to be a better person, or to be a bigger person, more famous, more richer person. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like I've definitely changed. But, you know, there's been a lot of things I've changed that made me change. You know? I've never really... There's some deep shit that I want to say. You know, I've never really said anything about it publicly. But, like, I feel like, obviously, coming into the scene, it was all great, all fun. And then, I ended up getting into some... I won't say getting into some issues, but some issues came to me. You know, I had a situation where I was in studio, I was chilling, I just had a session, and some people knocked on the door, and I came outside. I thought it was fans, innit? You get me? They were like, oh, I want to chat to you outside. Next thing I know, you, bro, they bust out shanks on me and guns, saying, and they kidnapped me. I swear to God, I've literally never spoken about this before. What? People know when they're like, in the end, like, you know, people know, like, it's, yeah, they kidnapped me. And, like, it was a whole situation. Like, it was a whole situation with the police, everything. They kidnapped me, took me to some apartment, trying to ask me for 20 grand ransom. I was like, even 20 grand is too little for me, bro. Like, you think I only want 20 grand? But, I didn't have nothing on me. I didn't have my phone. I didn't have nothing. Like, bro, you know, if as a business person, you know that for you to take that amount of money, you have to get certain type of signatures. You know what I'm saying? You cannot... They don't get sense. You know, some of these street boys don't get sense. I'm not a fraudster. I don't have cash on me, bro. I don't carry cash on me, bro. I don't even have £10 cash on me. So you have nothing. I said to them, bro, this is my card. I have £500 in my card. If you want to take it, take it. That's all I have to give you, because it's only you go to my house, go out and kidnap the rest of my family and collect money, because it's not going to work.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, it was a whole situation. They were, you know, on the drive there, they were pressuring me because I was staying in an apartment with my friends. You know, they were pressuring me, saying, yeah, give me the alley where your friends are, banging my face, punching me. It was tough.
Wow.
It was a crazy situation. I'm literally not under, I don't know if I'm over, even if I'm overselling, I'm selling it the right amount, because it was a crazy time, you know. And then I didn't give them nothing. They didn't end up with anything. It was a situation where a lot of people had to call them and say, oh, you know, let her go, and what you're doing is work, isn't it? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Let it go. Like, I was there for a good 2-3 hours. Like,
wow.
Them coming out saying, what? Where's the gun? Where's the mash? Like, I don't think they were threatening, they're gonna burn me alive and shit. Like, it was crazy.
How do you mentally
real life kidnapped? They kidnapped me.
You, the way you're laughing, it's not normal.
I don't cry.
like
what's that thing they say? You have to laugh now.
This is giving CSI investigation.
I swear, bro. Literally, they let me go. And
the way, like, you're telling the story is like you're talking about a TV series. That is crazy.
Nah, it's dead.
This is your life.
Yeah, this is. I think when they let me go, Sha, I went home. They booked me an Uber. No, they didn't book me. They took me to the cab station. Keep in mind, these are my kidnappers. After somebody pressured them, say, let that go, but something will happen to you. You understand? They let me go. They took me to the cab station, were begging me, so please, oh, don't, please, it's just wrong. We are sorry. Booked the cab for me. I went home. Obviously, there was police in my house. Like, it was crazy. Like, I'm sure if it went on for a few more hours, it would have been a whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Helicopters, everything. You know what I'm saying? But when I got home, you know, the police asked me what happened. I didn't say anything, to be fair. If I'm being honest, I didn't say anything. Just, people might have different things to say about that, but
I just didn't say anything because I was just trying to protect my career.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? You know the scene that we live in. I'm not a gangster. I've never acted like a... Even though I made this story, I say I want to love you like a gangster. How did gangsters do it? I don't know. I'm not a gangster. You know what I'm saying? But, like, that's not the life I live. If you know me, that's not the life I live. I don't like violence. I don't like all of that stuff. Like, you, like the music I make, I don't talk about violence. I talk about love, mm-hmm. vibes, whatever. And, like, it was a kind of a shock to my reality. From coming from just being a normal girl that went to school in Bexley, went to CTK, Lewisham College, you know what I mean? Everyone was cool, I was cool with everybody, nobody really done anything to me, to like being kidnapped. I was thinking, what did I do to you? I had no beef with them, I had no issues with them. It was so weird to me.
Yeah.
And it kind of like just changed my perspective on how I looked at things, because it was like, that's kind of one of the reasons why it started making me hate living in the UK.
Okay.
Because I was like, I don't feel safe here. I wouldn't go out. I wouldn't do nothing. I wouldn't want to do anything. I'm still paranoid. Do you know what I'm saying? I have PTSD. If someone comes close to me, like just from the back of me, like I'm scared. Do you know what I'm saying? So it definitely affected me. You know, it was a kind of a reality check of like, this is how it, I mean, it's not how it's, I don't know if this is how it is for everyone, but this is how it was for Misha. Like, it kind of felt more like a jealousy or like envy. Yeah. Of the fact that, you know, I'm from ends, you know? I made it at the ends, and it's like, now you want to take what I have, what I worked for, what I was in school, you know what I'm saying? What I messed up my grades for, I done all of this stuff for, and sacrifices for, they just want to take that from me. So it kind of hurt. It hurt a lot. I won't lie. I was in a dark place for a very long time.
Do you feel like this is the reason why you left the UK to then move to Nigeria?
It's definitely one of the reasons why I moved away from the scene. I'll definitely say that's one of the reasons, because of, bro, like, I won't lie, man. If you ever have something like that happen to you, scary, especially for my parents, bro.
Yeah.
My mom was crying. Like, bro, my mom, if I don't pick up the phone, she's panicking. Like, she thinks the worst has happened to me. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not something that you really want to experience. But, yeah, definitely one of the reasons why I moved out. Obviously, as well, I feel like the UK don't really appreciate their artists. You know, I feel like we do everything. You know, when we're in the studio, we don't go in the studio and just think, oh, I just want to talk about... We think about what our fans going to like. What are these individuals going to like? Like you said, you like that Ira song. It helped you through a hard time. We're thinking about how we're going to help you. Help me help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But they don't want to appreciate the things we don't do, even if it's the smallest thing. I'm not talking like I'm fucking like the biggest person in the UK, but you know, I played a part. I had a part to play, and I'm still playing my part. Yeah. And I'm gonna carry on playing my part, but they don't appreciate nothing you do. They forget. Very quick to forget. Do you know what I'm saying? So
let's even unpack this, because I know this emotion is coming from a specific situation that occurs, right? So there was a conversation in which Nine Bills was mentioning the Mount Everest of UK women in the music scene.
They said hip hop, to be fair.
Hip hop, yeah. Right? They mentioned you, they mentioned Steph London, and they mentioned Miss Banks.
No, they mentioned Lil Sims.
They mentioned Lil Sims.
They all should be there.
As they all should be there, including you, right?
I mean, I'm not, to be fair, on this situation, I'm not a hip hop artist. I'm not angry about being on, like, I'm not angry about, like, them posting that. I'm not angry at people saying, okay, yeah, I shouldn't be there because I'm not a hip-hop artist. I don't like you telling me, lo, why is Darko there? You might as well put da-da-da-da. What do you mean? Like, don't disrespect my name like that.
Yeah.
I worked hard for this stuff. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, you can swear. Like, you can swear.
I worked hard for this shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
Bro, I've taken away my childhood for this shit. Do you know what I'm saying? I started from early. This is all I wanted. This is all I've ever wanted. Do you know what I'm saying? I've sacrificed a lot of things personally, family time, so many things just to do this shit.
Yeah.
So when you have people talking about Darko Low, what do you mean, bro? Like, do you know what I've been doing? Like, even if I don't impact you in your life, fine. I don't mind. But there's so many people that I give confidence to. And the numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie. Can I just say something? Why you have to call them a fat fuck? You damn wrong for that.
Because it's a fat fuck. I don't have an issue with fat people. I have an issue with a fat fuck. He's a fat fuck.
I'm not body shaming. Fat people are all right. I love them, tick everything. I like everything. You get me? Keep doing what you're doing. But I don't like fat fucks.
In particular.
And he is a fat fuck.
In particular, we don't like, we love fat people, but we don't particularly like fat fucks.
You understand?
So if you were to add someone to that mountain, because there was a missing space in
I
there.
I seen that thing. I said, I called him a big burger.
You basically called him a big burger. You basically called him a big burger. I saw it and I was like, that is such a playground cast, but it still hits.
Nah, but I don't even have hate or dislike to any of these individuals. So if you've seen this, I don't hate you, bro. I just feel like, you know, when you talk about someone, give them some respect, understand their situation, understand that we actually get up every morning and try to make an impact in people's life. Do you know what I'm saying? Just before you say something, just know that, bro, like, come on, bro. Like, man actually doing something. Don't try, load up. What do you mean?
Do you know what's funny? And I feel like people who are on bigger platforms, who are celebrities, should start cussing people back, you know? Because I think the problem is, people think that they can say things and they can comment things and they'll go scotch-free. If you start sending people their pictures and say, but look at your thoughts. See your stomach. Yeah, but your wig is lifting. Oh my God. I don't feel like people would be as rude as they are.
I mean, Twitter's a, we know what Twitter is for now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, I hate Twitter.
Yeah, I do. To be fair, after all what I tweeted, I literally deleted the app.
Like, oh, you deleted the app? You're like, you fat fuck.
No, literally. Like, I don't let anybody disturb my happiness. Mm-hmm. Like, I deleted it. I'll call my people, I'll be like, oh, what is he saying? Like, how is he? What is he going left? Is he going left or right? And is he going left? I said, okay, no problem. Cut the phone. I don't check nothing because you're not gonna disturb my happiness, bro. I got so many things I'm working on, I'm not gonna let you affect me. People are gonna have their opinions and they're entitled to their opinions. I just feel like before you speak about someone, have some respect.
100%, especially people that you don't know their story, you don't know their journey, you don't know how hard they've worked for it. But I do want to know, who are you adding to the mountain next to your head in the UK? And we love everybody,
Oh, but are we talking about hip hop or are we talking about in general?
I would say in general, why not?
Georgia
Smith?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what? I actually hear that. I am so in love with her. I think she's an incredible artist. I think she's done so much in terms of UK music. I want to add...
Georgia for me will be number one.
Number one?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's hard for me. I'm so indecisive. Who would I add? Because honestly, we will sleep here today if I have to think about it. So I don't think I'm going to answer the question.
Can I get another one?
Of course. Can we get another... Latif, can we get another cartel? Thank you. He's coming. I don't know who I add, but I think the UK space is incredible. But let's move on. I want to talk about the Afrobeat space for a minute, because I actually saw a tweet and somebody came to bring their mouth to say, I feel like we're losing Afrobeats. I don't know if you saw this tweet. No. Somebody said that they feel like we're losing Afrobeats. Afrobeats has become mainstream now. Like, now the world is appreciating. It's no longer for like just Nigerians or Ghanaians or within our own local communities. It's for everybody now. So has the popularity of non-Afrobeat artists on Afrobeats helped the genre grow, or do you feel like it's being diluted?
I don't think it's being diluted. I think we as Africans are finally winning. And this whole conversation about, it's all this slavery mentality, bro. Like, in my opinion, it's all this colonizer, I suppose. Bro, listen, it's great that our music is flying. It's great that these other Spanish artists, these American artists are doing, using Afrobeat beats, working with all this art. It's great that we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because why should we just, I don't want to just be for you.
Agreed.
You understand?
Agreed.
Protect what is ours, of course, but allow us to grow. And I feel like, I was saying this before, I was like, that's the reason why Afro Swing is dead, because people want to hold it for themselves and not let us fly. Mm-hmm. If you allowed us to fly and kept on pushing your artists and stuck beside your artists like these Nigerians do, then we'll be in a different conversation about Afro Swing is dead. No, bro. Stop trying to hold things to yourself. Let it fly.
Agreed. I 1000%
agree. It's flying the African flag. You get me? People want to come to Nigeria now. You know, these American things want to come. It's good for us. Don't worry, we go chop all of them. It's great.
Do you know what? I'm so proud of the era we're in terms of Afrobeats, because I've grown up on Afrobeats. Like, I remember the first time I listened to Wizkid's album. I remember the Dabanj era. One Day Cole is the love of my life. Like, that's the era I grew up on.
I love One Day.
And I think the most exciting thing is going to the club, and you can go, now you can be at a club and you can have a club that is 3 hours deep into an Afrobeat set. Mm. That never used to happen.
Give it to it, me.
Unless you were going to like Auntie Folake's 50th birthday party, yeah, or a wedding. You're not getting Afrobeats in the club. And if it was, it's if you're sitting in the car now, Dundar. You're only hearing Dundar.
Yeah.
Now it's a thing where we have so many people, not even just Nigerian people, the South African AmaPP is coming on. Then the Ghanaian people are coming back. Like, I am just loving this era of Afrobeats.
I want to add as well, yeah, about, you know, them saying that diluting Afrobeats. I feel like Afrobeats would never be diluted because, like, Afrobeats is made by African artists.
Mm-hmm.
So these people who are making it, they're making it out the streets. They're talking about real things that's happening in their life, their real life experience. So when they come out and they make this music, it can never be diluted. Do you know what I'm saying? It's real Afrobeats. Like, the people who are actually making it are from the streets. They're from Nigeria. They're from these African places. So it's not about diluting. People are just mad that people are accepting. You know, it's just jealousy. I get it. But just allow us to fly. There shouldn't be this whole thingy. Let's be protective about what is ours. But don't stop it from going far.
And sharing. I feel like...
And sharing.
It's amazing to see artists like yourself who come from Nigeria, who are part of British culture, but who have exceeded beyond us. I feel like sometimes with the UK, it's like, we're like, yeah, that's us, until we reach the other side, and then they do what they can to try and pull us back, like, one way or another. It's like, no, you're from here, so you have to stay here with us. We have to all suffer together. Yeah. Like, I'm not on that. Let's get the next drink. I want to get a bit personal with you, because obviously we saw on Instagram that you had bought your mom a car.
Yeah, I did.
When she received the car, what was like, first of all, how did you feel, and then what was her reaction?
To be fair, I wanted it to be a surprise, but because my mom runs my business accounts and stuff, it couldn't be a surprise. So when the money was coming, I was like, why is this money coming out of your account? So already I tell her, oh, okay, mommy, we are doing this for you, because I told my dad, I was like, okay, I want to get a car, you know what I'm saying, I want to upgrade her thing, you know. It could be driving around like a, ooh, I'm baby, you know,
like a big mommy.
Like a big mommy. So yeah, I mean, we were trying to do a surprise, but eventually she kind of knew, because she had to sign the papers of like putting it on her name and stuff and whatever. But yeah, it was a great feeling, to be fair.
It was a beautiful. Are you a bit of a spender?
It depends on who, you know. It depends on who. I feel like for my friends, I like to see my friends win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm shining, I want my friends to shine with me. So whatever I possibly can, I would do for my friends.
And your girlfriend as well.
Yeah.
So I was on TikTok. Let's talk about this, because I was on TikTok the other day. And I saw, first of all, your girlfriend is hot. She's fucking fire, man. I don't give a heck.
Yeah.
That girl is fire. And I saw she put a TikTok and she was talking about her girlfriend, and there was just screenshots of saying how much. Wait. As I was flicking, you know, you did the, it was how much? How much is it?
You know, so how funny though. You know, so funny that when I seen that, what she posted, I was thinking, this has to be fake. Like, when did I say all of this stuff? What type of spirit?
How much is it? Should I send you?
How much do you need? Did I say that? Like, was it actually me that said that?
Ah,
I looked at the icon. I was like, oh shit, that's me. You know, she didn't even screenshot someone else's.
How
put
much
it.
Is it? How much do you need?
Bro, I don't
What's
know.
The price? What? I was that. Post made me reflect on my own love life, because I said, how many times has somebody asked me how much is it? What's the price? Like, I remember I saw TikTok and somebody was like, you crying over somebody that hasn't asked for your account details? And I said,
what's that girl that does that one that says
sprinkle. Do you know what? That's sprinkle. My queen, you know, I can't lie. I can't lie. Listen, for the girls who are not getting, how, like, I don't even know how, what even questions to ask, but how do you, what's even the right question? Listen, I'm stuttering because I'm like, I'm upset. The fuck? Who's spending money on me? Who's spending money on the girls? How do we get people to be spending money and splashing money? We want money and love combined.
Yeah, I think it's the Nigerian in me, you know. You know what they say about Nigerian people.
It's true, you know.
I think I think it's not just her, to be fair. Like, you know, like I said, with my mom and my friends and whatever I possibly can do to just make you happy as my friend, as being around me, you know. I think one of my old friends, you know, she had like a gap.
Is it friend or friend?
No, friend. Like best,
is it friend
this
or?
This is my best friend.
Okay.
This is like my best friend, you know, back in school days. You know, she had like a gap in her teeth and I paid for her teeth to get done. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it was always a thing that like I knew she wouldn't always say it, but you know, when she'd be taking pictures, she kind of hide it and stuff. So I knew that it was something that affected her. So I just was like, you know, when it was her birthday, I think it was like her 20th or something, or 19th. I was like, you know, I texted my guy that done my thing. I was like, yo, get her in.
Add that, yeah.
Get her in and we sorted it out. So I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a giving person. Whatever I can give, if it's like my last £10, I'll give it to you. But one thing I don't share about is food. I'll give you my last £10, but don't play my food. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't play with my food. If I have programmed my head to believe that I'm going to finish this rice and stew, this plantain we did there, I go finish this plantain, and you come and put your, I go vex for you. I don't play. Take my £10.
So you've got appetite.
Don't play with my food.
Do you know what? I hear it because
I don't share food.
And especially when somebody's like, when you've already asked, listen, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And they're like, no, you know, I just can't finish eating.
I don't wanna eat.
And then the plate comes, bam, and they're looking. You know what? That's my pet peeve. I feel like people that stare while you're eating is very rude. There was a time where I had ordered food. We'd asked the girls, are they hungry? They said no. Because of course, nobody wants to bring the money when it's time to eat, but they want to eat the food. Mm-hmm. The food was there and it was one sexy dessert. As in, you know when a dessert is looking, and I was eating it and me and my manager were eating it. And I can feel the girls looking at the food because the food looked good. I can feel them looking. And me, I don't fall to peer pressure. You can't peer pressure me into giving you the food. So I can feel them looking and I'm chopping it. My manager on the other hand, she felt the peer pressure. She
was like, want some?
She said, do you want some? I said, you fucking cow. Why'd you come? And they said, oh yeah.
It's a little bit.
Oh yeah, can I try some? I said, yes, man, you let them bully you. Nah. You let them physically bully you into taking this food. But what's the most like elaborate gift you've ever bought anybody?
Obviously, my mom's car.
Is it the car?
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's big. I would love to one day buy my mom a car.
Amen.
Either.
I mean, that's everyone's plan, and I hope you get to that point.
Amen.
You
know we're gonna put this in the archives, and we're gonna see in Jesus' name what comes to it.
Yeah, I think the car and just holidays and stuff. You know.
Yeah, you do travel
and
quite
Rolex.
A bit. Rolex.
But that was like.
Who did you buy a Rolex?
No, Diva, innit? That was like early in the relationship.
God.
No, but I feel like I done something really bad. And like, I just had to do like a big statement, you know, to show her that I was with it, you know, that I was sorry.
So
the bigger they mess up, the bigger they sorry, you know. So I don't
know if I can relate to that, you know. Because the big mess up, it's still sorry, nonny.
Sorry, when are you coming over?
Sorry, let's come and talk about it. After the talking.
Come link me.
God, I need to listen to the level. Maybe I need to get your girl so she can be educated. That's how the level needs to bring up.
I don't know which kind of juju she did on me, but.
Do you know what? Love, I really love you guys. And I really love the fact that you traveled the world to see. What's the most exciting place that you've been to?
Not with her though, but
I mean generally.
Yeah, in general. I think Barbados.
Okay.
I think it was Ira's birthday. I feel like that was the most, in terms of like the way the place looked and the vibe, the friends, like, you know, the friends we had over. I think Ira's birthday was probably the most elaborate trip I've had, the most fun trip. That was amazing.
Next time, just listen, guys, like, why don't I get the invite to these things? Like, am I
I'll tell her next time. When is her next birthday?
I'm trying to step into the scene. But what is the biggest goal you want to achieve, either personally or in your career?
I feel like I want to get to the point where I've done everything for my family, you know, like everything I possibly can think of, you know. My mom's not working anymore, and like, yeah, I think that's what I want to achieve personally from obviously music. In terms of music, I just feel like I just want to be recognized as one of the best, you know. I want to go around the world, see the world, and tour certain venues, do certain things. I feel like that's the type of achievements that like would make me happy, you know.
So let's talk about your new single, Shayo. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Fam, I'm so fake Nigerian, you know. There's some language, there's some like words that it's like when I say it, it's like, where's this girl from? I'm like, Shayo. Right.
Shayo.
I'm really trying to learn Yoruba. Do you know how to speak Yoruba?
I speak Yoruba fluently.
Ah, God, I wish.
I'm
like,
a freshie, to be fair.
But do you know what? I'm not going to lie, yeah. I'm really loving the Nigeria, it's guys. Sexy, I think it's sexy. Yeah. The accent. Like if a guy comes to me and he's like, yo, what's your name? I'm like,
What's your name?
I'm not gonna lie, I think the accent is sexy. Like before, like when I was younger, I never used to like it, but I think there's something about the Nigerian accent that just automatically gives like daddy. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, ah, daddy.
No, I hear that. I think Nigerian accent is sexy.
But yeah, let's talk about Shayo. So what was the inspiration behind this? Obviously it's with Tion Wayne. You guys have linked up for the third time. Are you guys not fed up of each other?
Second time.
Listen, I've done my research. What was your inspiration behind this one?
Shayo, I think I made it over a year ago, a long time. It was supposed to come out way earlier than it did. I feel like it was very, very delayed because certain situations and circumstances, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But finally got it out. I think I done sale like in June. I sent it over to, I mean, me and Tion weren't speaking for a while, but then I sent it, you know, we got back in contact. I sent it over to him, I think within a couple of weeks, he sent a verse. And like, we were planning to get it out, but like within that November stuff, it didn't happen. But then, yeah, we finally got it out, and I think we work well together because we're friends.
Again, like you're working on a new album. You told me this. Are we allowed to say
EP,
that?
EP, yeah. I'm working on a new, yeah.
You're working on a new EP. Yeah. What can we expect from this one?
This project is just me going back home.
Okay.
Know, showing you guys my journey back home. You know, linking up with a lot of the artists that are carrying Nigeria right now. Linking it up with a lot of those guys.
Give us some tea, give us something.
Yeah, I mean, I got a next single coming out. My next single's coming out with Omale.
Love him.
So, yeah, I feel like he's definitely one of my favorite artists. So, I think, you know, this project, I was able to get some amazing, amazing African artists on it. And I just really want to just show the world that, like, you know, this is for me and this is what I'm doing. And this is the angle I'm going in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And it's amazing to have the support from these guys as well, for them to be like, yeah, fuck with you. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Even though they did tweet bullshit on Twitter, but they real know that, babe, be that guy.
Yeah.
Be that babe.
So you're going back to Nigeria to like have this Holy Spirit. 100%. Honestly, I'm going to Nigeria for the first time in December.
First time.
I'm so fake, right?
You never even went when you was a kid.
No, there was nobody for flights. Mm. There's no money for flights. But I am going for the first time in December, and I'm so, so excited just to kind of experience the culture.
I think this year's gonna be amazing though. This year's gonna
Why in particular this year?
This year go chook. I think it's because obviously Afro Nation.
Yes, I will be at Afro Nation. Yeah. I will be at Afro Nation. Are you performing?
No, I'm not, you know. I'm not.
But you're just gonna be there. Anyways, I see the backstage.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Are you should be there?
I don't know. It depends on how I'm feeling on the day, you know.
Do you know what I feel?
I love to perform, but you know, maybe they should show me.
Afro Nation, you've heard her, what she said. I'm really, really excited just to see the culture. Every time people talk about Nigeria, it's always like it's out of this world. So
it is. I feel like the air, the energy, the feeling of safeness, which is the most important thing before you step out. You know, like when you're in Dubai,
mm-hmm.
they wear big RM. You're thinking, you can go out to the club and flex and be yourself and be happy that I worked hard for this, bro. Let me go to the club,
buy a couple bottles, be with the girl them, you know, do what I'm doing and enjoy my life. The way you're here, you can't wear the RM, but they'll chop your hand and the RM off. You know what I'm saying? So going to Nigeria, people always try to picture this whole it's not safe, it's not, bro, what are you talking about, bro? Before somebody try to take that, before they try take that watch off you or whatever they want to do to you, bro, they'll burn that person. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not unsafe. Obviously, you have to be careful where you go to. You have to be vigilant. You have to be street smart. You have to be, you know, smart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as unsafe as they tried to picture it. It's an amazing, like, I feel the safest in Africa than I feel in the UK.
Wow.
What does that say?
It says a lot. I'm very excited to experience that. And I'm very excited to play this game with you. Guys, don't go anywhere. We are going to be playing a special game with Darko. Be ready. Be ready. We'll be back. Grab a motherfucking drink.
It's Cocktails and Takeaways.
Right, guys, we are back, and we are back with a very special game. Obviously, Darko is looking incredible today.
I don't know why she's doing this, man. You're gassing me too much.
You're looking too yummy. But you know, women like me, like, it's not only looks that gets me going, it's also intelligence. I need a smile.
So that's a minus for me.
We'll see. Do you know what? Do you know what I love? I love people that underestimate themselves and surprise themselves a little bit. But this game, we ask our co-hosts. Ah, God, the drink is touching me. We ask our co-hosts questions. This is the cultural questionnaire. And this game is called Are You Smart? Now, Darko.
Am I smart?
Are you smart?
God knows. Only God knows. Only God knows.
Do you know what? It's a good place to start. The people who come confident are the people that always lose. I think skepticism is sexy. You have to be a bit like, maybe.
I always like to be a surprise, you know.
Listen,
no way it's not chatting to someone and they're underestimating your thing and then you give it to them and they're like, oh my God. I didn't know you could do this.
I'm shocked.
Let's see. I love that.
The game is pretty easy in terms of what you have to do. So we've got 8 questions. I lied. No, we don't. We have 6 questions.
6 questions.
You can only give me one answer. You can't tell me Bobby, Susie, Adam. I like decisiveness in this thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you get the question right, I have to take a mystery shot. Okay. And it could be a good sexy shot, or it could be a chaotic trash shot. Mm. If you get it wrong, you have to take the shot.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Are you feeling confident?
I was born ready.
Okay, cool. Question number 1, and it is a riddle.
A riddle?
Yeah.
Okay.
What gets bigger the more you take away? If you Google and cheat, what gets, back.
Wait.
See the way his hand is stepping.
What gets bigger
the more you take away?
What gets bigger the more you take away? Move away or take away? Like physically.
The more you take away.
I don't know. The more you take away, I don't know. Let me take my shot.
You're not even gonna wait. Let me say the answer. So we've got no answer. The answer is a hole.
What gets bigger the more you...
Like, when you dig a hole, the more you take away, the bigger it gets.
Oh.
I beg, take this shot. Which one we've got? The first one here? Okay, so we've got the first one here. I don't know what it is.
Oh, so it's an order, Abby.
It's an order. So it's fair. Oh,
what is this? What? Oh,
you have to... We have to take the shot. So
tell them that I'm already tipsy like this. They give me vodka.
What is it? That's a big fuck off shot. What was that?
Ew, it tastes like coconut water.
Is it coconut water? Do you not like coconut water?
Ew.
Do you know what? Yeah.
Not by itself.
Somebody said that coconut water tastes like spit.
You're gonna say pussy or
and I love coconut water, so I was very offended by that. But there's comment below if you love coconut water or not, because some people love it and some people don't like it, but I love it. I think
it's not bad, but it's just not
Can you imagine?
How would you drink that?
I'm here giving you electrolytes so that you can have the energy to keep going and you're complaining.
Don't worry, at least it's not a vodka shot. Thank you.
Question number two. Are you ready? We got to build the suspense here.
Okay.
Okay. This is a multiple choice. What country has the second largest film industry in the world? A, UK. B, India Bollywood. Or C, Nigeria Nollywood.
B, India Bollywood.
Are you locking that in?
I am locking it in.
That is incorrect. The answer is Nigeria Nollywood C.
What? Nollywood is bigger than Bollywood.
No, the second.
Oh, this. Second. I didn't hear that.
Next time, open your ears.
So what's the biggest? Bollywood?
Bollywood.
Okay.
First is Hollywood.
Then Bollywood.
Then Nollywood. Nollywood is bigger than Bollywood. What? Big up us. Take the shot, I beg.
Shout out to Aki and Popo.
Shout out to Jennifer Akindele.
Kanayo. Thank you.
This looks... Wait,
this one is for you.
This looks thick. What is that?
Oh, it's yogurt.
Oh, is it yogurt?
Nice.
Like a yogurt drink. My mum loves
I don't
this.
Mind losing them.
Not gonna lie.
Not bad.
This week, honestly, last week we had soy sauce, vinegar. Yeah. We had some...
Thank you.
We had some really, really chaotic stuff. Hopefully you don't get a bad one. Question number three. What influencer has a song named after them on the new NSG album?
Nella Rose.
Are you locking that
in? I am holding it in.
That is correct. Well done. Tia, you're very fake. That was the easy question. You know damn. You know damn.
There you go.
Why is it brown? What?
He's even saying, yo, it's peak for you.
Why is it warm, first of all?
Go on.
Is it coffee?
Go on, bad man.
God, I hate this for me. Now, you did that on my way. Okay.
What is it? What is it?
It's like it's like coffee.
Ew.
It's a really strong, cheap.
Drink some of that.
That's so disgusting. Oh my God, it's got aftertaste. Oh, I'm so upset.
You got a bad one.
I'm so upset. Oh my God, it's such an after. Do you know what? That wasn't, but I might never drink coffee again after that.
I don't like coffee.
Do you not like coffee? No. I like coffee, but how I started liking coffee is that like all the bad bees drink coffee. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't like coffee. I'd rather have a Red Bull.
Okay, all right then.
Yeah.
Bit of a Red Bull. Anything that keeps you up and alert, I'm with it. Question number four. What is the scientific name of the process of turning oxygen into carbon dioxide called? What is the scientific name of the process of turning oxygen into carbon dioxide called?
I feel like I know this. Turning oxygen into
carbon dioxide.
I'm going to say the stupidest thing because I feel like this is about plants, isn't it? But this is the only word that's popping up in my mind. Osmosis.
Osmosis.
I know it's wrong.
And you're locking that in.
I feel like I know this, but bro, I ain't been to school in how many years, bro? I didn't even finish college. So, yeah, I'll just lock that in.
We are locking in osmosis.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Yeah. The answer is respiration.
Oh, nice.
When you breathe in and breathe out, you breathe out carbon dioxide. Sorry, what is osmosis? Because that sounds very familiar.
It sounds to be the grass, no? What's that, no? Yeah, so to the grass. And
to be honest, it's something.
I think, yeah, something.
It's something.
I knew something.
It's just the wrong thing. Which way does it go? This way or this way? Here. So you've got this one, not that.
No, I don't want this one. I want this one.
Why are you laughing? Take the shot. Take the shot.
Ew.
Take the shot. It's even separated. I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know what the hell that is.
Ew. It smells like meat.
I don't know what that is.
You know when you're making jollof rice and you take the meat, the stock, the chicken stock.
Oh no! Oh!
That's disgusting.
Have a sip. Have a sip there. Have a sip. What was
that?
That
chicken stock in it, or like meat stock?
Chicken gravy. Oh no. Ew. Oh no. Chicken gravy. Nah, you guys are dead wrong for that. You know you dead wrong for that.
It's not everybody that went to school that is smart. Not because you went to school doesn't mean you're smart. Leave me alone. I do well in other areas. Must say respiration. Right.
Question number 5. Guess the song.
Okay.
Every other girl, they date too much, but this girl, mellow. As I reach my house, I say, make I rest more. Baby, if you leave me, I no go love again.
Repeat it.
Sorry. Every other girl, they do too much, but this girl, mellow.
Oh, Rema.
As I reach my house, I say, make I rest small.
No, I'm wrong. Am I wrong? They do too much, but this girl, mellow.
Why are you opening your eyes in the back?
I'll go with Rema.
You're locking in Rema. We need the song.
Hey, where I come from? Calm down. Hey, no. Why are you looking at him? It's
not because I'm double checking. We're locking in.
Calm down.
Rema, calm down. That is the correct answer. And I'm very upset. That is the correct answer. Big up you. Thank you very much. This
is that milk. Look, it's not bad.
This looks like a bit of a milky thing.
Mm.
Come on, guys. What the fuck, man?
What is that?
It's that coconut oil milk. What is that? The cooking. Come on, man. This is some bullshit, man. This is some bullshit, man.
Not that bad. Not worse than what I got.
Okay, we got the final one. Who do you think is going to get this one?
Drum roll, please.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
You could take it home.
I could take it home. Take what home?
You. I mean, you could take the win home. I mean,
we're talking about you.
Me as well, please. Right. Question number 6. Spell conscientious.
Conscientious.
Yeah.
C-O.
Mm-hmm.
N.
Okay.
Conscientious. C-O-N. C-I-E-N. E-N. C-I-O-U-S. Yeah.
I can't repeat it, but it's gonna be on the... It's gonna be on the...
So, C-O-N.
Yeah.
C-O-N-C-I. Conscientious. I don't want to get it wrong if I got it right before. Do you have paper and pen? Conscientious. Anxious. No, I. C-O-N-C-I-E-N-C-I-O-U-S.
Wow, that's great.
Did I get it right?
Right, we're locking that in.
Conscientious.
Do you feel like you got it right?
I don't know, bro.
That is correct.
Hey! You see, when you say things in an African way, yeah, you get it right. Because we really break it down. Conscientious. What can it be? Conscientious. Told you.
I'm just fucking with you. It's not right. It's not right. Oh. I'm about to take a shot.
You're violating.
I'm about to take a shot.
It's just like chocolate milk anyways.
I'll be honest. From the first hurdle.
It's chocolate milk.
From the first hurdle. You.
Cheers.
To be honest, it's not a bad shot to end.
What do you mean, bro? This is nice.
That's what I mean. It's a nice shot. Honestly, the shots this week have been in your favor. Maybe
like me, innit?
Basically, it's given at Light Darko, yeah. Because
it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't as bad as we've had. But I want to say a huge, huge thank you for coming. Thank you for playing. Where can we find you on this internet?
Darko. D-A-R.
Mm-hmm.
K-O-O.
Oh, she can spell. Big up you, and thank you for everyone
you
who
got
is
me
watching.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
I'm drunk.
I'm tipsy.
Listen, you and me both, but thank you for watching. Guys, we are going to be back next week with another bad boy or another bad girl. Love you lots, and I'm motherfucking out. Let's go. Woo! Thank you.